Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Rupali.
And I'm Kalyani. We are your next door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Hi everyone, welcome back. Today we are going to be speaking about something that is top of mind when it comes to a lot of people in actually many industries. I was going to say the investment industry, but it's actually top of mind for a lot of people because it's a huge topic, and the topic is debt ceiling.
Yes.
And we are here to kind of break it down in layman's terms and how that may or may not impact us and you.
Yes.
And how to kind of process it all.
Yeah, it's one of our, I would say, rare time-sensitive episodes.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
That needs to go out within a certain time to be relevant.
Exactly. Kalyani, what is the debt ceiling?
So as simple as it would be for any of us, all of us have some sort of a bank card. If it's a credit card, then it would have a limit to how much you can spend on the card. Similar to that, governments have a limit to how much they can borrow. A lot of you might not know that governments also need to borrow. Yes, that is very much part of the financial markets. And generally, they do this through securities that are called bonds, generally. They're seen as a very safe investment because governments are assumed to be a safer borrower. And US government especially is seen to be one of the safest sources of investment in that sense. When anyone buys a government bond, then the government pays them interest as you would when you borrow from the bank. So that's a very simple explanation. And what's happening right now is also pretty simple actually. We'll break it down for you.
Exactly. So what is essentially happening is there's a limit or a cap at which the government can borrow.
Yes.
And the cap is around $31.4 trillion.
Yes.
Which is very many zeros.
Yes, I was just going to say, beyond a point, it doesn't compute.
And it is. It's, one of the most powerful countries in the world. It like Kalyani said, it has, an element of safety linked to it. It's considered a safe haven. A lot of investors invest in these treasuries, bonds, bills, whatever you call it. Notes. And so what happens is the government spends and it has some kind of pool of money that it spends from.
Mm-hmm.
The pool is funded by taxes or any other income that comes through to the government.
Yes.
When there is a shortage in this pool of funds, at that point you see that the government would have to then borrow money.
Yeah.
How it borrows is through bonds, like Kalyani said.
Yes.
So investors such as, individuals, institutions, high net worth individuals or any different types of investor invest in these.
Yeah.
And borrow the government money to spend on their people.
Yes, I read something pretty interesting about, so there's all this chat about the debt ceiling, US government, etc. But who have they borrowed from primarily? There was an article about this, and 54% of their debt is held by foreign governments.
Hmm.
So actually, governments of various countries have seen this as a safe way to park their money so that their money can grow. And I find this whole thing very bizarre. I used to be a student of political science and economics, which has a lot of current affairs and world matters, international trade, etc. And I find it really bizarre that while the US is in such a position, we know countries who are asking it for lending, who are asking it for funds, and US might actually consider sending assistance, sending monetary funds for different purposes or through agencies like the World Bank, IMF, etc. How does that even happen is a bit bizarre, right? And even these countries, like at the moment, they might not have such a deficit or such an urgent problem as the US is in, but they're asking other countries for assistance. So sometimes international trade is a bit complex.
Yes, and there's a lot of drivers, right? Like you said,
yes.
The political science aspect of it is what drives all of this ultimately.
Yeah.
So when the China-US clash happened or started, there was speculation about the treasury bills that would sell off and all of that because the Chinese would dump US assets, and US would dump Chinese assets, and so politics come into markets in this way.
Big time. I find that super interesting, but we've digressed. So coming back to debt ceiling, basically what's happening is, in layman's terms, the US is broke and does not have enough funds to pay the remaining amount that they owe. So either they can borrow more by increasing the debt ceiling. It's a bit like asking your bank to increase your credit card limit.
Exactly.
Or they default, which is when you can't pay your credit card bill, once again, using the analogy. And if they default, then there's a big cost to it, mainly in terms of losing reputation.
Agree. And sending out panic in the market, right? So if the US as a country is broke and is not able to pay back its money, then like you and I...
You and I are not in the picture. But the general kind of saying in the markets is, if the US sneezes, then the rest of the world has a cold. So in this case, the rest of the world will probably get pneumonia as a ripple effect or something.
Yeah.
And the anticipation of that, once again, as we've highlighted before, is definitely worse than what will actually happen.
Yeah, it's more that, you know, the unknown is always worse or seen to be worse than the known.
Yes.
So even though you know we kind of expect somewhat volatility in the markets or fear that kind of goes across the world, all of that, you expect it to be a lot worse than it may be. And what kind of really points to this is when I see surveys of these investment professionals, these big banks, and the likelihood of the impact of the debt ceiling, very few expect that it will be a very long-term impact.
Mm.
Most of them, which was close to 75%, if I'm not mistaken, expect that there'll be a blip. Now, the blip may be a month where there's lots of panic, but it'll be a blip. And at some point, as you do, humans are made to adapt. And so people will adapt and get on with it.
Exactly. Let's talk about what implications this would have, right? There are a few implications, likely implications, and some of these might affect all of us. So one of the bigger macro, I suppose, a little disconnected implication is that the government might shut down, the US government, basically because there will be no money to run it, basically. Or there will be protests and objections to how things have occurred. I have to say, as a part of this, Rupali and I were discussing this earlier, that in terms of their attitude, they seem pretty comfortable. Like the market has more urgency than the decision makers. Yeah, Joe Biden is chilling.
Yeah.
His body language that I perceive.
Yeah, look, I think, to be fair, I think I agree. I don't sense that urgency from them. However, you don't want the president to be in panic either.
Also,
so I suppose that's probably what he's been advised to portray, regardless of how he personally feels.
That's true. And while we're talking about perception, sentiment in the market, etc., I would like to point out that while the stock market may be new to some of you, I would like for you to pay attention to how there's always some issue that seems to be the next issue that's going to bring the world down. I mean, if you were to listen to CNBC, then in 2020, of course, there was COVID. In 2021, there was the vaccine crisis and the second wave, third wave, what have you. In 2022, the whole inflation interest rate debacle. In 2020, and the Russian war.
And China breakdown, crackdown, sorry.
Of course. So I might be missing some of these massive happenings as well. Then in 2023, it has been all about, remind me,
interest rates and the debt ceiling.
Interest rates, of course.
It's
and
really
now debt ceiling. So just when the bull run seems to be settling in, now they found something to complain about, which is the debt ceiling now. So going to the point that there will always be this giant avalanche coming in the markets, the way news likes to portray it, because otherwise no one will watch news.
Yes.
If they were to simply say things are good, news will end in one sentence, and that's not what they want. It's a 24-hour
drama, don't they?
Yeah, and what do they fill their hours with, right? So with this very simple motive, there's a lot of content that we get our way that sounds a lot more urgent and negative than it needs to be.
Yeah, I think so. Both Kalyani and I are realists. We're not unrealistically positive or optimistic, and neither are we kind of fear mongering or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I think while yes, there may be, you know, certain implications, people on the ground in the US may feel it a little bit more in terms of their social security payments, all of that, that's very
yes.
real. But the panic that kind of may be spreading in the markets, or the fear that's kind of being, you know, it's building up around the state of 1st June, which is the deadline.
Yes.
That is kind of something that we both kind of have discussed and thought that, you know, this is, like she said, one of the things that are a part of it all.
Mm.
And I think I personally think also that we've mentioned this in the past, where when you're investing, then there is some kind of cost to
yes.
your running your investing business
yes.
in inverted commas,
very much,
and so the risk is your cost essentially, and that is what you're getting paid for. So there's a reason why you get paid, and this is the reason why
this
you get paid.
This is the reason, exactly. So let's cover some of the more practical implications. So you mentioned just now social security payments may have delays, may cut down for more so US residents, right?
Yeah, there may be some kind of job losses if people kind of think the economy is not going to be healthy enough to provide for or be able to make enough money to pay for these salaries.
Yeah, we're seeing job losses in the market overall, especially in tech companies.
Yeah.
Otherwise, job data is coming out to be pretty strong. So it is a complex market to understand.
Yeah.
Which is why I suppose we like doing what we're doing at
so,
Fantastic.
And this is the you know, the dichotomy of it, where on the one end, Meta cutting jobs was a really positive news for the market in terms of Meta stock.
Yes.
However, gets kind of seen as panic by a certain group of people. And then when you look at it in terms of job numbers, from the Fed's perspective, it has a different implication altogether. So the same information kind of gets processed differently
totally.
By so many different people.
Totally. And I'd like to bring some other examples of this, but later in the episode. For more implications, if you are invested in any government investments abroad, outside of the US, I mean, like we said, a lot of governments, external governments, are invested in US debt securities. So that might mean that your returns might get affected, or there might be a ripple effect of panic in the markets that you generally tend to invest in. But like we said, it is likely to be a blip, and the US government can't afford a bigger than necessary stop to its activities. So there will be a solution that is expected to come out of it.
Yes, and this is the importance of passive income, so you're not as dependent on your job, the importance of, you know, having liquid cash, so you're not
yes.
dependent on investments that you may have to sell at a loss over the short term and to fund your day-to-day expenses, the importance of having a really good mix of assets and being very deliberate about it. In terms of, okay, well, there's real estate, there's gold, there's cash, there's stocks, there's bonds.
Yes.
And between all of that, and then there's your job.
Yes, of course.
Or your work or whatever that brings income to you.
Exactly.
So that's part of your portfolio.
Yeah. We spoke about dichotomy earlier in terms of the job market. I was talking to Rupali before we started recording about the dichotomy between, you know, we were discussing about fixed income returns. So that's generally bonds, US Treasury, etc., other instruments, versus the fact that the stock market is carrying on going up. So let's talk a little bit about what you think is going to happen in the stock market. Maybe we can bring the relationship between the stock markets and bonds in this light.
Yeah, so I think what's happened until now is the interest rates have, like we mentioned, has driven a lot, right? So
yeah.
Until now, increasing interest rates have hurt bond performance.
Yes.
And so that means that they're already valued lower than they were before, regardless of all these other issues. The increase in interest rates also impacted certain sectors such as tech or these long,
big time,
well, highly sensitive or long duration assets, like you would call it, also.
Yeah.
And so how far legged down have markets seen is also seen to be an indicator of how much worse can it get. If you've already sold off quite a bit, how much worse can you really be, you know?
Yes.
And so right now what's kind of seen is that between bonds and stocks, it's expected that stocks are may kind of, if markets are more volatile, if this unrest around of the economy, the macro kind of world remains, then stocks will probably see a lot of up and down. What that means is down may be an opportunity. And up maybe you want, you've been looking to cash out and go for it then, you know, if that's what works. And bond markets have seen bigger drop than they should have otherwise seen. And so the probability of a recession has already been priced in, which means that there's not much more you would expect it to lose going forward.
And also people might go more towards bonds for stability, which again is a dichotomy versus what we're saying about the US government wanting or having to borrow more because it doesn't have money to pay for its existing debt. So these are dichotomies that are going to exist in the market. Similarly to interest rates increasing, as we've mentioned multiple times before previously, but impacting different sets of people in a very different way. So for example, my parents, I was sharing with Rupali as well, have a lot of interest income coming in. So they've been super happy about the interest rate increasing. Whereas we were looking out for mortgages, and we've kind of obviously been quoted very high interest rates as a result, as a borrowing rate. So it will impact different people in a different way. And this is something that we would like to for you to be aware of.
Yes, so when someone's telling you something, then just kind of link it back to yourself. See what situation you're in. See how to make the best of that situation instead of listening to someone who's scared and then panicking and selling everything or buying everything. You know, there's no need for that extreme behavior.
Yeah, and there's always a good opportunity in the market. So if the stock market does go down, then that's a good opportunity for us to buy more. If it doesn't, then maybe, so stock markets and bonds are always inversely related. So if stock markets tend to go up, then the bond markets will come down, and maybe that's a good way, good time for you to diversify into bonds. So there will always be a silver lining. If you just know where to look in the markets, there'll always be a good opportunity. So I think with that, we'd like to kind of finish this episode, and we're all looking forward to knowing what happens on 1st of June. I'm not super worried about what's going to happen, but I am curious to see how they manage the situation more than anything. With the elections coming up, I'm less worried about there being a big showdown.
And elections drive a lot, right?
And then let's see what new debacle CNBC finds or the financial news market finds after 1st of June. I'm sure there'll be something. So, yeah, see you next week.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
So with that, we bring this episode of Our Financial Adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fantastic Females.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.